sunshine, little Uber, liver, liver, leave us blessed to...
Hello, beautiful listeners. Thank you for tuning in to As the Worm Turns. You're dialed into KVNF 90.9. This is DJ Peggy Soup. Try not to pop my peas too loud. And I am joined by one of my best friends, the beautiful Miss Leah Love, who is not only a wonderful artist and local contributor on so many levels, but she's also a local entrepreneur with Organic Food Works and Citizen Raw.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's kind of weird to
I
be
know,
in this
right?
seat. Yeah.
I am so giddy. This is a call-in show. You can give us a call at 970-527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. As always, please stay tuned for One Woman's Perspective at the end, at the top of the hour of 7 p.m. Leah is amazing in so many ways, like I mentioned, and again, my excitement. And as is my tradition, now I feel like it's a running gag of talking about my arugula yard, is that she's actually blessed me with coming and harvesting the arugula out of my yard to put into her organic.
That was a dip. It was sprouted almonds with just arugula, and that was it. Not even salt, a little bit of lemon. That's it. Yeah.
Which is just amazing. If you've not tried her dried snack chips, I happen to be personally addicted to the dried onion holes, both jalapeno and original flavor.
Okay.
I'm hoping to be on the holiday Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa list of
wink wink wink
wink wink nudge nudge. Say no more. Can I just have a basket on, please? That'd be great. And with that, on the amazement that I have on how much you really utilize with all the bounty from this valley that you do incorporate into your
dehydrated
products.
Yeah, you know, when I moved to Paonia and, you know, I was already kind of making the crackers, I didn't know yet how this was all going to unfold. And, you know, when I moved into a place and I have, a garden and, you know, I did my best and it was okay. And then I started listening to As the Worm Turns and I got really fortunate to become friends with Lance Swigert. And I was like, I want to see how you do what you do.
Which it's so cute when you see them together talking about gardens. It's adorable.
And, and this year I've had the privilege of kind of, you know, making my way there at least once a week if I could, you know, sometimes twice, and just watching the process, you know. Mm-hmm. And I can't really say I'm helping because Lance doesn't need anybody's help, but he's pretty much got it down.
Yeah, he is dialed.
But I would go and I would see the way he was like doing his carrots and things, and I would go right back to my garden and I was like, okay, I don't have this beautiful broad pick, but I got a pitchfork and I'm going to start doing this, you know? And I have to say this year, I mean, just from going home and doing the exact same thing that I saw, it transformed my garden. Mm-hmm. I had less weeds. I had order. And I was able, I mean, I'm still, you know, right now I probably have 60 pounds of my own carrots and maybe 40 pounds of my own beets. And I have some of my onions. I mean, I go through so many onions that when it is onion time, I get as many as I can from here. And if not, a lot of them are coming from the San Luis Valley. So I do want to keep it Colorado local,
right,
as much as possible.
Which is just absolutely brilliant. And I know that I dote on your dehydration skills. I completely do. And I cannot say enough how I can literally sit down and eat an entire bag of dried onions. And I just 3 years ago would not have even believed that I would say that.
And like that. Yeah, now I have people that come to me that don't like onions at all. And they're like, right, wow, I love that.
Yeah.
But there's something synergistically, you know, because what I'm doing is I'm sprouting cashews and mm-hmm. you soak them some, you know, a minimum of 12 hours and you rinse them really well. And what you're doing by kind of creating that process is you're sprouting them and you are releasing the oils and things that your body is not able to go through.
Right.
So by the time I rinse it off, it's totally viable. And then it alchemically kind of changes the onion. Mm-hmm. It's not like a raw onion. It's not like a grilled onion.
It's not.
You know?
It's absolutely not. And I do happen to have this love for the homeopathic and kitchen witch onion processing. I was talking last week when Alicia was here that I make a cough syrup using organic onions and raw honey. And
well, Peggy, yeah. I'm going to share, you know, when I cut my onions and we have to cut them in perfect slices, we don't use the center part. So I'll usually walk away with 2 gallons worth of the centers of the onions.
Oh, yes, please. And thank you.
Okay.
Absolutely. That would be great. I don't know if I'll use all 2 gallons, but I would
Well, you can give me some cough syrup. Is it oniony?
It's really not as oniony as you think it is.
Okay, because
but
the honey
it's a natural
changes.
Antimicrobial and beneficials. So you get all these beautiful aspects of the onion. And again, the honey, same beautiful nutritious properties.
Onion has antibiotics.
Antibiotics already in it. And since it's raw, it has all those fun, magical bee spells all over it. And so it's really great and it works. And from last week to this week, everyone on air, I'm sure, can attest that, boy, I sound probably a lot better.
Yes,
thank you for noticing. Thanks for asking. I'm doing great. And in addition to how else I use your dried onions, testifying now, is for one of the holiday, very popular holiday dishes, the green bean casserole.
And you crinkle them on the top.
I crinkle those.
Crunch them up.
Oh, and sometimes I use just the original and sometimes I use the jalapeno, just depending on which one I want to kick with. And when I started using that 2 seasons ago, and I've had more compliments on, ooh, hey, you want to make that green bean casserole? I don't know why it's different, but it is. I'm like, I can tell you why it's different.
Right, because you don't need those fried onions on there.
Because you don't need the fried onions.
No, that's really bad. And only until this last batch was I able that all those were locally grown jalapenos and as many locally grown red peppers as I can put in there. And, you know, and I would like to let the listeners know, when you go through a dehydration process, you want to keep your temperature below 118. So, like, I keep my temperature at 115, and, like, those onions start to finish. It can take up to, like, 55 hours, you know, to really be on it and keep your enzymes and your nutrition alive. Sure, I mean, I have people come to me, and they're like, yeah, well, we take kale, and we put it in the oven, and I'm like, the lowest your oven is going to go is 200. So
right. There
might be delicious, and I'm not saying
don't do it.
Don't
Yay.
Do it. Yes, eat as much kale as you possibly can, but it's still not the same as keeping your temperature really low. And it's kind of it's a slow process, but you're going to get all your benefits out of that. You know, I mean,
right. And so because I know that I do a lot of dehydrating with apples and fruits. I have grapes I turn into raisins, apples into chips and stuff like that. And did find that, I mean, you've seen the bounty of parsley that I have in my yard, and it was just ridiculous. And I just tried to whack as much as I could and chopped some and froze it. And then I put dumb amount of layering in my dehydrator and dropped it to one of the lowest temperatures. And even on your dehydrator, their recommended temperatures. Agree? Disagree?
You know, some of them I agree with when I look at the dial. Like, I had my very first one was an Excalibur, and, you know, it says, you know, it's even for jerky. And But I think some of their temperatures are a little bit high. I think going slower, longer is definitely better.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like anything that you're going to cook. The slower and the longer you're going to let it go, the more valuable flavor you're going to be able to kind of embrace and lock into that space.
Right.
I mean, and for me this year, like with fruits, I mean, gosh, peonia was in a bounty. I mean, everywhere in this whole valley, it was just, there was so much fruit. And I had a lot of people coming to me, and, you know, we had just moved into this incredible kitchen, but I had just moved into the kitchen from my own kitchen. So I wasn't at a point that I had, like, you know, a dehydrator as big as this room. Mm-hmm. And I found even for myself that I ended up just dehydrating my fruits on racks. Like, you know, I have this trailer and it gets nice and hot, and I would open the windows, and instead of putting them in a machine, I just let the air dry them.
Right.
I did my tomatoes like that. I did my raspberries like that. I have some Italian prune plums that I did that with. And I have to say, the recommended thing on the dehydrator, I did put some apricots that somebody had given me, and it made them too hard. It over dried them.
Yes.
And then they're like brittle and they're not as good.
That's what we call that level of dehydration. when I was working for other fruit farmers, not in Colorado, we called that survival dry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just hurry up and get that thing dry.
Survival dried. So then they keep forever. You barely even need to put them in a jar or a bag. They're just survival dried. But then to use them, you need to soak them overnight.
Yeah, like you would
or
a sun-dried tomato.
Or,
mm-hmm,
or,
yeah,
exactly.
Because they're brittle. They go,
right.
You know. And
or you'll break a tooth.
Yeah.
One of those two.
Yeah, it's like candy.
They're not enjoyable. I mean, just now you're getting to know a little bit more about me and my kitchen. Thank you so much. Again, this is a call-in show, dehydration questions, and we are going to be moving on to different holiday preparations because I just love Lee in the kitchen. It's just so much fun and seeing what her and her compatriots put out. Shout out to Clementine. Thank you for all your beautiful,
yes.
Delicious additives. So you are tuned in to KVNF on 90.9. And our phone number to do a call-in is 970-527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now.
We'd love a question. That would be kind of great.
It would be fun.
Yeah.
It would be fun. And again, any dehydration and or so holiday traditions are huge in my family. We've got several different – we're very still old world – solid in our, sorry, I keep hitting the table. That's my bad. Of desserts and specialty dishes. So in our family, we have Krusjikis, Kalakis. Okay. And today we did stuff the pierogi.
Okay. Now those two, are those cookies?
The two first are cookies. So the, and nothing is low fat in our holiday.
Full butter.
It's full butter.
Okay.
It's full butter.
We could talk about raw butter another day.
Yeah, raw butter
very
is
expensive.
Great. Super expensive. But if you
excellent.
Have a friend with a cow that you can get cream from, that is a bonus.
Okay, so they're butter cookies. Both of them are?
Both of them. The Kalaki is a butter and cream cheese with a dollop of
jam.
Your jam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then our Krusjiki are, it's more of a, it looks like a pancake batter. And ours is a adjusted version of the original butter rollout, very thin slices and turning it into a bow and then deep frying it.
Ah, well, in the yeah. Greeks have that, a dish like that. And
I
it's
knew
called
they
diplas.
Did. Yeah.
They're called diplas, and I've never seen one since I was a kid. My dad used to always have them in the restaurant, mm-hmm. and I'm like, where do I get me a dipla? But the same thing.
Well, so you can come to my house. I have baskets of cookies that I'm getting ready to dole out. Please and thank you.
We can trade for onions.
I would so trade for onions. And the Krusjiki are, I mean, I have friends from up north in Michigan who still send me notes. Oh my gosh, can you mail those to me? And I'm like, oh, that's so cute.
And you use your own jelly for that or jam that
the
you made.
The Krusjikis are a deep fried, like the Greek.
Okay, do you put
version.
Powdered sugar on them?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so this is a lacy looking version instead of a rolled dough. I don't
do you have
even
like
know.
A lace cutter kind of thing?
Okay. It's a hot iron. And this is our cheater version.
Those. I know what you're talking about.
This is our cheater version of it. Yeah. I have never.
Are they the best when they're fresh, though?
I just did them today, so they're super fresh. Okay. They're really good for a week, and then you can freeze them, and they stay really nice. They do. And they're best, of course, they're best fresh within the first week or two.
Okay.
We do hold ourselves off. We were just telling stories of my grandpa and how, one, there's no eating them without powdered sugar everywhere.
Right. It's just, you're doused.
You're doused. And then if you do try and eat them over the sink, you always lose part of your cookie. And then you look down and you're like, no.
Because it got wet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, my grandfather was a very barrel-chested man, and so he would come through and get the broken pieces because there's always a broken piece because they're very delicate. And then after those were done, you'd look at him and he'd pass through. Like he'd be passing through the kitchen. This is he was only first generation here, so his family like came over. So
this
he was born
big deal.
Here. This
yeah,
is a
this
huge
a deal
for him to walk through the kitchen. And so you would catch him and you'd be like, Grandpa, did you hit the Krustiki? No, of course not. And you're looking at powdered sugar
all
down the front
him.
Of him chest and you're like, okay, dusting you off.
You might inspire me, though, to think of some kind of raw, dehydrated version. It's certainly not going to be, you know, have that whole fried element to it. But do they? Are you using almond flour? What are you using as your flour? Just regular?
No,
whole?
we use as unprocessed flour as we can.
Okay.
But whole wheat does not have the same fluff.
Okay, it's got to
it
be that white
unbleached. It's unbleached.
It should be like pastry
all
flour.
Purpose.
I'm
yeah,
just trying to think. And
flour.
What's the flavoring that you're adding to it, though? Does it have almond extract?
You can use almond. In our house, we do vanilla.
Okay.
Just because it's like super right there, you know. I do a lot of almond cookies. My mom leans more towards the vanilla.
Okay.
But I'd love to see like a version of how raw can we get it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could.
And the baking of it.
Well, you know, you'd be dehydrating it and it wouldn't be like a cracker, but you can put it in a dewy, you know, and kind of roll them out and then they can be like circles.
So I'm going to slow you down on the dewy.
Okay.
I'm just because I know that it threw me for a loop.
Oh, just now?
Yeah, just now.
Oh, okay.
A dewy. I went right to the decimal system, which I know is like obsolete. So what's a dewy?
A dewy is a pastry bag that, you know, you could, I guess you could use a Ziploc bag if you really wanted to. Mm-hmm. You could cut the little end off and then you get those little, you can get a plastic one or a metal one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's in the French cooking thing and then you fill in your dewy. So you would put the slop, you know, like mm-hmm. as when we're making
right.
crackers and stuff, it's very gooey, you know, mm-hmm. before it gets very crispy. So you would fill the dewy bag and then you would put a certain number on there and then you can create a shape with it or make
okay.
a perfect circle.
All right.
Yeah, it's called. I think you went to the dewy decimal
like,
system. Yes,
I totally
dewy.
Did.
Yes.
We use a cookie press.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, there's
I
that.
I got one for Clementine and my daughter, Aldasia,
yeah.
you know, that could make the trees and stuff. That
yes.
hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen in the next couple days.
That was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did that yesterday. Lemon cookies, they're delicious. And that's another thing is marrying the flavors. I know bouncing back and forth between cookies and dehydrated food, and it's not just the dehydrated onions that you do. You do many different crackers that are flax and wasanori.
Yeah, they're
one
all
of my,
flax based because that's the flaxseed is what's actually kind of. It's very gelatinous. I would mm-hmm. kind of liken it to the texture of egg whites when we're making the slop. And you have to think we're making them in these big, giant bowls. When the whole slop is done, the bowl weighs 28 pounds.
I love that you're calling what we're going to be eating in a dehydrated form slop.
Okay,
it really
well,
puts it in perspective.
Well, you know, you can take a ladle and it's mm-hmm. very viscous
yeah.
and it's very wet, you know, but that's how you can marry all your flavors in there. And even when we do the batch, you can't spread it. You have to allow at least 2 hours for everything mm-hmm. to kind of marry together.
Now, because this is, I know that doing a lot of different baking and different, I go off the grid when it comes to certain recipes. People
oh,
say,
well,
oh,
me
how
too.
Do you make it? I'm like, so how big's my hand? I'm like, 2 handfuls. And they're like, it's not going to work for me. How are you going to change that up? So with that, a
I
lot
that,
of recipes.
No, it was really hard for me when I was
yeah,
like, okay,
trying
I'm
to bring it to
well,
a
I'm gonna
quantum
make,
level.
Yeah, I'm going
to
make flax cracks. And I've done it for myself and my girlfriends for years.
Mm-hmm.
I never measured anything. It was always extremely consistent.
Yeah.
And then one day I had to sit and measure it. And that was like, and I had to do.
Was it a little excruciating?
It really was. And then I had to do it 5 times.
Mm.
You know, I couldn't just do it under one batch to actually know, because now I'm measuring and now it's messing my mind up. And I'm like, I don't organically work like this.
Right.
So it took about five times of doing different batches and then me being like, okay, it needs a little bit more of that and it needs a little bit less of that. Well, for me, it's always more. Just put more.
Yeah, right? Everything's more for me, too. I get it.
Put more than you think.
Exactly. Yeah, sometimes, right? And so when creating these different recipes, because I really do encourage, go off the grid with your recipe book. Those, to me, are guidelines. And I was the weirdo kid that between watching Bob Ross and Julia Child, it was like a toss-up of how many PBS
programs
shows
you
could
get
do
in your brain
in a row. Before it was, hey, did you get that dusting done? Yeah, I was like so into it. And I think watching Julia Child, I'll like help you guys all out and not do her voice for you today. It was going off the grid with your recipes. And in that, some of it was don't eat it till the next day.
Absolutely, because all the things that, I mean, even if I make a curry, sometimes I'll actually make it the day before to serve it the next night. Or like your stews, I'll start it in the nighttime and it'll go all day long. And you're right. Sometimes it even has to get cold to reheat it up to really get all of your flavors.
Right. Well, and that's what we do with our pierogi filling, is that the filling is always made the day before. And the one time that I got all like, oh, I'm going to do it all. I don't even know what their problem is. My grandmother and mother, whatever, can do this all in one day. It wasn't horrid, but it was not the same.
It was not the same. It's because it's a process. I mean, even now being here and going to the next level and really learning to grow. I mean, all summer long, all the herbs are coming right out of my garden, and the carrots and the beets. And then if not, then I'll buy them from, you know, all the sources that I know have abundance. And, you know, even this year, like kind of being in Lance's garden, he was growing quinoa for the first time. And he has all those beds of carrots and all those beds of carrots. And now I've invented a new carrot. It's called Carrot Gold. And it's carrot, quinoa, celery, parsley, fennel seeds, curry powder, and lemon zest. And that was, again, I was redoing this thing where, like, you know, you had made the recipe and now you've got to, like, measure this out. And, you know, I mean, you got to make it, like, 10 times. And you can't put it on the market. So what are you going to do with all these bag? So I just bring it to the farmer's market and then I would just kind of test it, because that's how Wasanori happened. You know, having being at the farmer's market is an incredible place to get people's feedback, to feel proud that you're growing, you know, that you have a garden and you're creating your products out of there. And then I use them kind of as, you know, as I'm like, okay, what do you think of that? And they're, and my customers will be extremely honest. No, I love that.
Well, I was going to say, love it. Not so much some days. You're like, hey, this is awesome. And they're like,
Well, and then when with the kind of food that we're creating, you have a lot of high standard people.
Right.
So you've, I mean, and they know their stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they really know their stuff. So you can't be pulling no wool over nobody's eyes in the business that we're in. You can't. I mean, a lot of people know their stuff and they will definitely tell you. I mean, I definitely always see it as, you know, even in the beginning, you know, I'm sure you've had other flax crackers and they're hard. And the seeds are all stuck in your teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was two women that were both in their 80s that helped me perfect that. And I could have taken it as an insult and been like, oh, my God, they're totally insulting me. And they tell me that my stuff sucks. But instead, I turned it around. And I was like, you know what? They love me. They support me. And they're actually trying to help me. And it made me just go back to the drawing board and go back and go back and go, how can I get this to be just the crispiest thing without all the seeds in your teeth? And, you know, I took it like that.
So there are certain, like your crackers would never, for me, would not attempt it at home. Because I just feel like, I'll just call Leah. I'm just going to call her. That's awesome. And in addition to that, so let's say that somebody had an abundance of kale. And so, and I know that I have, through many moments of, oh, okay, I made a kale substance that was crumbly. Would I call it a delicious snack? No. Would I call it something that I would add to a sautéed something? Maybe.
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 If it does turn out really crumbly, though, yeah. save it and use it as a salad topping.
Right.
I mean, that's what I always yeah. say, you know, all the crumbs inside of all the bags. Put mm-hmm. it on a soup, put it in a stir fry, put it there.
Right.
But if somebody does yeah. have an abundance of kale, I will mm-hmm. take your kale and I will turn it into magic.
And she'll trade it for dried onion hulls, which I'm in.
Okay.
I'm totally in. All right. Gosh, I keep looking
really
at the clock.
Fast.
I'm like, it goes so fast.
It goes so fast, and I don't care that nobody called us. I mean, I would have liked that.
It would have been great. It is always great when somebody does. And on those moments that they don't, I figure we're answering their questions already.
Okay.
So that's how I take that. And if we missed answering your question.
But dehydration is a really ancient technique,
yeah.
and it didn't start in a machine.
Mm-hmm.
It started with the sun.
Right.
Started with the air and the sun. And it's been in practice ancient, like thousands and thousands of years. So I think it's kind of funny that it's now becoming a really big thing when
right.
it's been there the whole time.
It's so true because many years ago it was, for me, a pulled screen, old window screen
yeah. Yeah.
in between another pulled window screen to keep the flies off.
Yep.
And it was like I was stretching silk like I was going to do screen printing, which nobody believed me that would work, but it did.
It did.
So ha.
Yeah.
And so if I was going to have real quick kale, wanted to dehydrate it, but didn't just want a flat kale chip, how do you season it?
Well, I think a lot of people start and they go putting olive oil on it,
mm-hmm.
and it's just not going to turn the way you want it.
Right.
You need to soak and sprout a seed or a nut. You know,
okay, yeah.
I do it with sunflower seeds. I do it with pumpkin seeds. You mm-hmm. can do it with cashews. You can do it with almonds.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it with walnuts. And you just need to soak it, rinse it, and then you put that in the blender, and then you add whatever. Like, look, we do a jalapeno orange.
Yeah.
We do parsley apple. We do, I mean, whatever is in abundance,
yeah.
I'll just make that happen.
Again, so fast. It goes by so quickly. Thank you so much, beautiful Miss Leah Love, for joining me here. Peggy Soup DJ over here for As the Worm Turns. Please stay tuned for One Woman's Perspective with the beautiful Miss Tara. Thank you again. Happy dehydrating.
Thank you for having me.
I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Lowly